I sure appreciate the help tonight. When Chad sent me the request, I was thinking, sure, I can handle that. And then it dawned on me, how do you do that? And I realized then, he sends messages out to everybody, I think. And I didn't have that capacity nor the time. And so I was with Ryan Smith the other day, and I was like, I'm just going to have to go home and try to figure this out. And so I decided at the lab, I'm just going to call on volunteers. So I certainly wasn't trying to not get Ben to help or anybody, but I didn't have time to put all the text together. So again, thanks for the help. Let's talk about this again, change of heart that's necessary to our salvation. The change that I mentioned earlier, remember the passage that we quoted from Matthew 22, that we are to love God with all of our heart. And so the change that is necessary is a complete change. If the human heart embraces the intellect, emotions, will, and conscience, there can be no complete change of heart until each has been changed. And so each must be changed. If a man's whole heart is changed, the heart must be changed from evil thoughts to good thoughts, from wicked reasoning to good reasoning, from ignorance of God's word to a knowledge of it. And I'm reading and quoting directly from the book because I think that this is really good. From unbelief to belief. Think about the world and where they are today, those outside of Christ, those who have not been educated. From despicableness to admiration, from the detestation of good to its desire, from the love of the world to the love of the Lord. Those are interesting passages when I now think of the subject matter. If any man love the world, John says, the love of the Father is not in him. They're antithetical. They're opposite. They're antagonistic to one another. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. How many of us have struggled with that throughout our lives, trying to find careers or jobs? And you know, you have struggled with your love of mammon, the world, the goods of the world. Again, I made a comment last Sunday, and someone kind of laughed at me, and I wasn't trying to be funny, but we make choices based upon our own desires. I do what I do because I like doing what I do. Now, I have to make a decision if what I do is going to make me go to hell, and I've got to change if it is. You see what I'm saying? So there are some things we do that are okay. So if I like cows, it's okay, right? I like to eat beef. It's your problem if you don't. So, but nonetheless, beef is a good solid protein, and it's sustained the world of protein for many years, and it will continue to do so. And God said to receive it with thanksgiving, and I'm going to keep cooking. So nonetheless, how is the human heart changed is the question. How is the human heart changed? Well, this is great. It's changed by evidence. Just yesterday morning, I had a conversation with a cousin in my family. And she was talking to me about her children. I was really encouraging her, and I was telling her, you cannot force faith in your children. You have to show faith in your own life to them, which then will produce evidences that they will desire because it becomes like an appetite for it. It's good. It's evidence. They'll see the goodness in your life. So smile. Practice Christianity. Surround your children around the goodness of God and show them that, and it always pertains to discipline. Doing what's right means you're not doing what's wrong. So you have to always show that. But you can't force faith. So Brother Brownlow talks about this from the standpoint of evidence. The intellect, the heart is changed by evidence or testimony. You remember Thomas the doubter in John 20, verses 24 through 29, when he doubted that the Lord had been resurrected and even said, I will not believe unless I see him. Well, interesting for Thomas, and not for you and me, because this won't happen for us, but the Lord appeared unto Thomas, and you remember what the Lord said to Thomas? He said, reach hither thy finger and see my hands, and reach hither thy hand and put it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas, of course, exclaimed then, my Lord and my God. The Apostle John talks about evidences a lot in his writings. In 1 John chapter 1, he talks about how with their own eyes, with their own ears, with their own hands, they had seen, heard, and handled, touched the Word of life, Jesus the Christ. The Apostle Paul talks about 513 people, including himself, that were still alive and remained in 1 Corinthians 15 that had eyewitnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There was evidence, you see. So when you think about evidences, the gospel's full of it, and it has to be preached and presented this way. This is not a fake, mythical, false message. This is the truth. The gospel's not going away. Mankind's heart may be distracted by the world, but the gospel's not going away. This is why we have to preach the gospel. An interesting example in the book here that's given not so long ago. Now, that's funny. Not so long ago. This was in 1945. But I love this because I like history. The father and mother of a sailor received a telegram from Washington stating that their son was killed in the Pearl Harbor attack. Not so long ago. So just be sure and read and catch those little thoughts. Their thoughts, reasoning, understanding, and faith were wholly changed. Their son had been killed at Pearl Harbor, they had been told. A few weeks later, they received another telegram from the same authority saying that the first was all a mistake and that the boy was alive. This testimony produced another change in intellect. Thus, it is easy to see that evidence or testimony controls the intellect. What a emotional roller coaster. There's the word emotional, referring to what? The roller coaster of the heart. Thus, it is easy to see that the evidence or testimony, again, controls that. The Word of God here. The Word of God is the testimony. And this is what God has given to us. These are written that you might believe. John 20, verse 31. These are written. The signs and miracles that were done in the first century are recorded for us. In John 21, the next chapter, the final chapter, it says, if we were to try to write a book and contain it in such a writing, everything that Jesus ever did, how large of a book would that be? Again, here's another Bill Grady-ism. I hope he's in paradise and he's comforted, and I'm sure he is. He used to say to me all the time, God's pretty stingy with his words. You better pay attention to every one of them. And he would quote that passage in John 21 and say, you can think about how big, if you can't get these facts, then how many facts is it going to take to convince you? Evidence to change your heart, Brian. The emotions are changed then by faith. Think about how this transfers into faith. Evidence helps our faith, which again comes from the heart. And so as we mentioned earlier, the despicableness, the desire, the love and trust and all those things in a person's life can be changed if they'll listen to the evidences and then allow the belief or faith to kick in. And so it's faith in the testimony of Christ that produces the change. This is interesting. It's faith then being produced, trust, reliance, a desire to say, I'm ready to obey the gospel. I'm going to obey this because like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. What was Paul going to do? A man that was a murderer and now he's a lifesaver. Talk about a change in one's life. The evidence produced faith that motivated him to obey the gospel. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Acts 22:16, through Ananias, arise now, why tarriest thou? Be baptized and wash away your sins. And a man that is convinced by evidence like Saul, now the apostle Paul did what? Immediately. His heart changed. He obeyed from where? The heart, and was washed from his sins. Romans 2:4, we quoted it earlier, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness, a motive of God, is to, again, lead thee to repentance, to obedience. Hebrews 5, verse 9 talks about obedience because there's appointed time, there's an appointed day of death. And so that motive then should motivate us to obey because we all know we're going to die. So Saul's sins were washed away. Remember Romans 6, 17 and 18. Those of us who have obeyed the gospel, here it is for reminder. Romans 6, 17 and 18. Whereas you were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of doctrine, whereunto you were delivered, and being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. See the change? Servants of sin, the world, to now servants of righteousness. See the word servant meaning action, obedience, lifestyle change. It's amazing what the gospel will do for someone when they will listen to it here and allow the evidences to convict their intellect, their heart, to then motivate them by their faith to obey this message from their heart because they recognize and they're all of a sudden servants of righteousness. It's not an idle thing. Friends, I would tell you, now that the conscience has changed, the person who's done this, you're going to see great change in the world. Pricked in the heart, saved by the gospel, baptism, which doth now save us, a conscience that's crystal clear now, Acts 23, verse 1, convinced the heart of man, his emotions, his intellect, everything's in line with the truth. Friends, I would tell you right now, what we are suffering from in this world is just purely Christians not doing their job. Christians not doing their job. You want to turn the world around? Become a Christian. Be a servant of righteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you. What does the world need? It needs Christians. It needs servants of righteousness. Hearts that have been pricked. Souls that have been obedient to the gospel from the heart that continue to serve. What are we lacking today? Servants. Well, we have servants, but what are we serving apparently? You want to see fruits of righteousness? You want to see goodness? Peace? Be a Christian, a servant of righteousness. And you'll see things change. There's nothing more important, more powerful than you. That's the greatest purpose in life. The older I get, the more I'm like, there's nothing more important. It's been such a privilege lately to be able to preach around the West Texas area and get to know people and listen to them and find out where they are and go, wow, there's problems here that need to be solved. And the way we solve, that's with the gospel. So keep preaching. It's amazing. And you see, God will open up them doors of opportunity if you start to serve. People sit around, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, start serving, and guess what? Those doors of opportunity are going to open up for you. We need more Christians. If you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then this is the invitation of the Lord. If you know what you need to do, you're not a Christian, you're ready, because your faith is going to motivate you to do this. You're convinced of the evidences, the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. You're ready to confess. Your mind's been made up. I've got to change my life. And now you're ready to say something. The word is homologia. Say the same thing. Confess Christ before men publicly. Jesus is the Son of the living God. I believe that. And the person ready to obey the gospel then is now ready to be baptized in the water, immersed, put to death. The old man is crucified with Christ. You contact the blood of Jesus Christ. You come out of that water. Sins washed away. Not by that water, but by the faith and the operation of God, Colossians 2:12. Buried with him in baptism. To arise now to walk in the newness of life and be a servant of righteousness. That's the gospel invitation. That's what will change your life if you obey that from the heart. If we can help you in any way, if you need the prayers of the congregation, won't you let us know? Then as together we stand and we sing, won't you come?